Blog Talk Radio.
Cause tomorrow might be good for something. Hold on, feeling like I'm headed for a breakdown, and I don't know. Talking to myself in public and dodging glances on the train. And I know they've all been talking about me. I can hear them whisper, and it makes me think there must be something wrong with me. Out of all
was Unwell by Matchbox 20, released in 2003 on their album More Than You Think You Are. And I'd like to welcome everyone listening to a Team of Voices broadcast of Off the Rack. I'm your host, Raconteur. In case you're wondering, a Team of Voices is the name of our group on the allpoetry.com website, where you'll find the links to the poems that you'll hear on this podcast, and also be able to meet some of the amazing poets who are gracious enough to share their words. Feel free to join us on allpoetry.com. It's free to join. I hope you're ready, because now it's time to rack our brains discussing the things that drive us crazy and touch on how they make us think and feel.
Welcome, welcome, everybody. Tonight we're going to be talking about something that drives me crazy, like everything does, I guess. It's unexpected friendships. We're going to have some fun, I think. One of the things that went through my brain when I was thinking about this was the way that some of us tend to lower or have next to no expectations. That way we don't get disappointed. So, looking around us and not having those expectations sometimes, you know, lets us see things in a different light. And, you know, at least you know, changes the way we interface with some of the things that we do during the day and whatnot. That turns into a whole thing about, you know, how some people present themselves and what we tend to come across the internet on the internet, you know. And if people are honest, you know, we can have a good experience. You know, obviously there's both sides of the coin, but I kind of want to focus on you know, the reality of it. So there is a darker side. There are people that are dishonest, and you know, that's definitely a truth. But you know, the lighter side of that is sometimes, you know, we're able to come across someone, you know, like a good book, you know, and you never know if they're gonna speak to you and touch your life until you get to know them, and that all goes to how honest and accurately they represent themselves. So we've got all facets of that, you know. We've got people that just, you know, prefer to be private and not, you know, reveal anything about themselves and just, you know, deal with the fiction of their writing. And we've got other people that just bleed their emotions onto the page, and, you know, you could tell what's going on in their life and who they're in love with just by opening up their author page. So it's a big ball of wax, and we're going to have some fun melting it a little bit and talking about it. I've got Pretty Bird on the line.
Hello, hello. How are y'all tonight? Not that I can hear you, because you haven't called us yet, but hopefully soon.
This is one of those rhetorical questions. You know, it's the internet. How are you? Yeah. It's a lot of fun. And, you know, it's funny the way I think that it's developed, you know, because it used to be, you know, the only way to meet people was like in the shopping center or at work and things like that. And now with the advent of the internet, you know, you've got people reinventing themselves and presenting themselves in different ways. And I tend to think, you know, the more honest you are, the more fun you can have, because, you know, that to me, you know, the reality of it is you know, what I tend to enjoy about it, you know. And then you get to know some people and you know, they touch your life, and you look forward to talking to them, or at least, you know, that's what's happened, what I've been fortunate enough to experience. You know, I've met some people that I get to talk to and you know, get to know a little bit outside of the poetry world and the blog world. But, you know, there's obviously, you know, the opposite end of the coin too. And you know, it's all about, you know, a lot of respect for that as well, because that's a sure way to stop someone from even talking to you to begin with, if you disrespect them. And you know, this obviously, well, I shouldn't say obviously, you know, this people have hooked up, but this isn't exactly a dating site. So if you use the site to hit on people, they're not going to talk to you. But, you know, well, people will find that out on their own.
I think it's funny that that you said that being disrespectful is a way to get people to not talk to you, but it's the internet, and then people are all vulgar and vile with the ease of anonymity, so they'd be all obnoxious and retaliatory more so than anybody usually is, or that I've come across in real life. And I love how you are all, you know, you get to reinvent yourself like it's a positive thing, like you can be who you always wanted to be, and all I hear is lies. It's all lies. That's why you can't trust the internet, because I would think the darker side of this whole entire thing, which is funny because I've had more good experiences than bad. But yeah, and for those who don't know, on allpoetry.com, private messages are not fully private. Moderators do moderate. So please stop sending inappropriateness. I'm just speaking to anybody who has sent them to me, because no.
Yeah. I mean the anonymity and everything else that some people tend to hide behind, I won't say easily, but, you know, as far as you know, ignoring it or just, you know, batting it away, I kind of want to say a lot of it, it's just words, but, you know, that there are real emotions attached to it. And that was kind of the point of the idea of this as well. You know, a lot of people dismiss the internet as not being real. And, you know, even to the point of, you know, you can't have a relationship online. You know, as if the emotions don't count, or, you know, as if you don't catch feelings for someone. And, you know, I think it's quite
like
the opposite
of that.
Yeah, right? I got an ear infection. Never mind. So, wrong show.
Oh,
anyway. I mean, you know, the whole back and forth banter between people, once you smell bullshit or even, you know, if you suspect it, you know, and you know, it's just an unfortunate slip of somebody's tongue and it's not true. You know, we're in that position where we determine what's reality and what isn't. And if we don't like what we hear for whatever, I'm sorry?
Aren't we always in a position to determine what's real and what isn't, even in real life?
Yeah, yeah, that's kind of where I was going with that, you know. But online, I think it's even easier to bat away the bullshit and like
the politeness factor. You can be an ass on the internet. You know what? I don't believe you, so here's my tuchus blocked, ghosted, and people don't actually do that in real life. It is a rarity, you know. It's just not the norm where people are all like, oh my gosh, you're the best thing since sliced bread, and then they disappear, like they move out of the house and all this. That doesn't happen. So on the internet, it's just so easy to be like, nope, next, nope, next, nope, next, and I'm just like, oh, the asses have shown themselves.
Well, I mean, that comes down to, is it justified? You know, but because some people
of disrespect is never justified.
I mean, if you are
completely screwed with and you're in the middle of something and they see it coming, that's one thing. But being ghosted without provocation, like if you're not having an argument, if you're not like, you know, oh my gosh, I know how I used to love you, I hate you, and then you're gone. If there's no precursor, that is just disrespectful and unkind. And it doesn't matter what the reason is, it turns every good thing before that into a lie. And so ghosting is bad. You're an idiot, I don't want to talk to you anymore, bye, and then ghost them. And that's perfectly valid.
But you don't even owe them that explanation, you know.
Well,
sometimes even better not to offer it to just, you know, let the ghosting speak for itself. I mean,
well,
to me,
that's a horrible thing. People have done you wrong, in cases where enough is enough, in cases like that, yes. But that, to me, falls under that provoked umbrella, you know. They're not the ones, like, a friend of mine, his uncle said, I'm going to the store, I need some bread, and then, you know, left for 5 years.
Never came home.
Yeah, and people don't do that. That's a worrisome thing, especially if you did catch feelings or you pretended to have feelings and somebody else caught feelings. Whatever the case, if there's any kind of investment of emotion, I think that ghosting is probably the worst thing you can do, because you don't trust yourself to ever want to talk to anybody else online ever again, and you can miss out on a lot of friendships, or you can be mean to everybody else by comparison. Nope, no information, don't want to know, don't know, all this stuff. And then when you finally take down those walls and trust somebody years later, you wasted all these years on your inability to trust and meet valuable people. I am not a fan of ghosting, having been ghosted. And unexpected. Well, there's one thing. If somebody's pissed off and they leave, they're an ass. But if they just disappear on all fronts.
Yeah.
When you're not arguing, when there's never been anything leading up to it, when the last conversation you had was a great conversation, and then they just disappear.
There's that lack of closure, and
well,
you know,
you wonder if they're dead.
That's what I was
saying.
They're
1,000 miles away. What the heck, man?
Your mind goes
just
a million different directions. Yeah,
it does.
Exactly.
And then after a while, you kind of hope that something did happen to them, so that then, you know, everything wasn't a lie. But this does not fall under friendships. This falls under asshats, and we don't have that little file folder right now. So we're talking, because I can take everything into the shadows. So you fear,
and that's That, no. That's actually a very valid way to go too, because if you think about it, people that write beautifully and pour their hearts out, I'm gonna use you, and since Angel wrote tonight, I'm gonna mention her specifically as well. You know, people look at what you guys write, and they kind of fall in love with your words, and they're like, you know, they recognize that, oh, I want that in my life, and then you get that unwanted attention, and you know, sometimes it's from people that don't have that respect for what you say, and they think, you know, oh, you know, that's about me. You know, it has to be about, oh, she's talking about me. Right? I hear you chuckling. I know you've been there. So you know where I'm going with that, you know? And the next thing you know, well block.
Well, you know, I have this weird effect on people who read me. And I'm very polarizing in the real world, online. Every faction of me is exactly the same. People tend to love me or hate me. There's not a whole lot of middle ground. I'm not tolerated well, you know. It's kind of like mushrooms. You either eat them or you don't, you know. Ew, I just call myself fungus. That is not okay. Anyway, as I write something, and all of you creative types out there, all of you poets on AP listening, whoever is finding us on the internet, you know, eons from now listening, anybody that has a strong creative pull knows that these are tiny snapshots, bits and pieces of something once felt or hoped to be felt, or whatever it is not a big giant picture of who you are. This is not a, doesn't necessarily have to be an in the moment thing. They are the representations of snippets of things, as beautiful
right.
as they may be. Okay.
And then there's also that other word, fiction.
There's that too. You know, not everything happens to be real, even if it's, you know, even if it resembles somebody else's reality. So there's
right.
all of these things, you know, in the creation of art. But people, many, many, many people, I don't understand, because I don't like that way. So get everybody's different, you know, but I just don't understand how somebody could read something and never having had a conversation or maybe having a comment or two on a piece be all like, oh my goodness, you know, this is about me and that's about me. And I'm like, I don't know who you are. I don't know your name. We've never had a conversation. I don't write about people like that. I write about my experiences. I write about, you know, things that affect my life, things that I see or feel. I don't know you. Why would you think that you are so important to me that, having never known you for a second in a message, I'm going to write something about you? It's not a one-time thing. It happens so often. And I'm just like, all right, let me just chalk you up to crazy block. Thank you very much. Or there are people that are lovely that want to have a nice little back and forth in comments, because that's where it usually starts. And then when they work up the whatever it takes them to message you, they're all like, tell me your name so I can
look
at my dreams. And I'm like, dude, I'm like, if I wanted the entire universe to know the reality of me, I would, that wouldn't be Pretty Bird, you know? And it's not that it's anything fictitious. I don't hide anything. I don't pretend to be something I'm not. But I don't want to invite so many people in my fully personal space, because I used to a million years ago before, you know, I understood that not everybody is honest on the internet, because, you know, I was trusting back in the day. And somebody looked me up on Facebook, which they can still do, I'm sure. And I got like a Christmas card and a birthday card and whatever sent to my house. I did not, like, no, just no. Do not find me from the corners of the universe and send things to the place where I live, you know? It's not, exactly. And it's a scary, scary thing. So that's, you know, unexpected nightmares is what that is. You know, because that is not okay, especially if you have kids. You don't want weirdos, you know, I mean, they can't be fully stable if they're stalking you and sending you things to your house. So,
yeah,
it's a little scary. Having said that, Go ahead.
I can only imagine opening the mail and getting a box of Kanishas.
I don't know anything about that. But hopefully all the gifts received are because the address was given first, so that's okay. But, you know, on the flip side of that, with all of this, you know, remote control relationships and internet, whatever, I have a niece who is the exception to the rule and actually went on a date on Tinder, not a date with extras, just a get-to-know-you date, to be clear. And they've been together, 6 years? And now they're married and yada, yada, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, there are a lot of good things that happen from sometimes shady stuff, you know, because, you know, people can look all nice and sweet, but Ted Bundy was this nice, well-rounded, educated guy who did vile, vile things. So,
yeah,
trust no one. Or trust your gut, but my gut always gets me in trouble, so who the heck knows? Boy, I'm just hijacking everything. I'm going to shut up and let you do your thing.
Well,
this
is the topic. Stop. we can launch into the poem that I dropped. That would make the most sense, I think, because that is something along the lines of what we're talking about and on the positive side. So.
Oh, you want to hear something funny?
Please.
This one doesn't have an audio.
Ah, of course it doesn't.
You can make me read it? I see how you are.
Unfortunately, I'm unable to.
Well, okay. It seems a little self-serving, actually, but okay. I shall read this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful poem by the very talented Mr. Rackentor. This is, it might be nice if I put it on the board because it's been a while since I've had duties and I forget how to do everything. For 1 second. So, for those of you listening, the link is on the board, and this is An Unexpected Friendship by Mr. Rackentor. And it goes like this. Well, it'll go like this in about half a minute because apparently I can't see any glasses, so let me put them on. Okay. The edge of the sun barely kissed the sky when my eyes fluttered open, followed closely by the subtly sweet, soothing sounds of a bird call. And though I've never actually seen her, the depth of her song washes over me. The vulnerability in her voice has touched me deeply. She may never be called genteel, but her beauty transcends the I'm assuming that's supposed to rhyme because it's the way I say it and the way you wrote it, I'm sure, are different things, are corporeal. I imagine the mind of my unseen friend exposed in the music she makes. I hear love and pain in each note, and I can't help but smile even as my heart breaks. Something familiar about her, it's hard to explain. I only know the melody that I hear, and I almost always feel the same. Fate has given me a wonderful friend that lifts my spirit and soothes my pain, and every night when I close my eyes, I thank God, knowing that when I open them, I will hear her call again. End poem. And my apologies for just digressing like I do when I'm on the phone with you like a normal person, because I have no poetic etiquette at this point. But it has been a while.
I was thinking before I called, I'm like, you know, I'm going to forget that I'm on the radio, and I'm just going to start talking to you like we're on the phone.
No, but that would be me. I would be that person. And so my apologies for the you know, blathering on for the side note, but I love this poem. I love this poem for many reasons, because mine, and it is beautifully written, and it's a beautiful notion to have a relationship with somebody that you understand them on a very personal level, even if you haven't met, even if there's no video chatting, even if it's not any, you know, romantic, whatever, that true friendship is a beautiful thing and something to look forward to and a little bit of brightness in a day. And it's really kind of encompasses that, and it's truly, truly lovely. I personally, when birds sing in the morning, drives me stinking nuts, happy little flipping feathered things, because I don't ever get to sleep. I finally usually fall asleep about 6 o'clock in the morning, right when they wake their little happy tails up. So me and bird songs are not, you know, bonded. But but I love that. I love that there's joy and affection in that, and it's exactly perfect for tonight's theme, because it's all the good things. You know, it's the hope of what a friendship could turn into, that little ray of sunshine, where it's more than just, let me just comment on this, or let's, you know, banter about that. It's a sharing of like minds on a variety of subjects that isn't website related, regardless of where you meet people online. And it's a lovely, lovely thing. I find that people are a lot more openly...
honest?
No. Flirtatious. like on most engagements that start, always have to put out feelers, like maybe it could be, maybe it could be, maybe it could be. And I get really annoyed with that. So when you come across people that really are just genuine without any ulterior motives, you know, to me, those are the keepers, the ones that you don't ever have to worry if they're being nice to you, because they think that in a vulnerable moment, because not for nothing, poets are especially
moody bitches.
Emotional. Yes. Yes, we are. We are all moody bitches. We are. Which is why we're poets, because we have to have a place to put all of those moods. But when you get to know somebody that starts out wanting to get to know you in a different way, then, you know, I'm very wary, because apparently I'm absolutely distrustful of people, and that comes from pain and having trusted in the past. I'm not just obnoxious to begin with. Well, not that obnoxious. And so then when you cry, or when you're upset, or something's happening, they read a sad poem, that they're like, here is my shoulder, and then here is my bare chest, and here I am greased up for you, and you need to feel love, I'll love you, darling. So there's none of that smarminess when it's genuine, and that's where the seeds can grow into a true bonded friendship. And so I absolutely, absolutely love that. There are very few people that, for me personally, because apparently all I ever do is talk about myself, but there are very few people that, for me personally, have I have met online that have, like, completely transcended wherever we met. Like, you know, if you meet somebody on in a Facebook group or in another poetry group or it's somewhere doing whatever the heck y'all do online, because I don't know, and then your friends, even if that website goes defunct or you're not on there anymore or something else happens, yada yada blah blah blah, there is a handful that I hold close to my heart. I don't take everybody with me wherever I go. I don't, right. Like, if I were to one day walk away from all poetry, there's only a handful of people that I would keep when it comes to calling and texting and stuff. Not that I would drop anybody that I call and text, because if I call and text them now, those are the ones that I'm keeping, you know? So, and it's not that I don't have any affection for a great deal of many people on here. I do. But I don't pull everybody into those deep places.
Right.
I tend to keep my distance. I tend to be a little bit more private. And that, by the way, speaks to something you mentioned at the very beginning of the show, when you're all like, well, you know, if you don't have any expectations, you know, that yada, yada, blah, blah, blah. And absolutely. What was that?
Yeah, no expectations, no disappointments.
Yes, because exactly, because that expectation breeds disappointment. And if you don't have that, those high hopes, you know, you don't really have that far to fall. And it's true and depressing and unfortunate. And it takes, and again, that's not human nature. Human nature wants to believe that people are honest. It wants to have hope in things. It wants to be the good, you know, but pain says, yeah, we've tried that repeatedly and not for nothing. I haven't quite scooped myself up off the floor from last time. So let me just stay right down here because I'm already down. Try not to kick too hard. And it's unfortunate. I think I actually have a poem called Stop Kicking, I'm Already Down. Because, you know, I'm so delightful.
Well, you know,
oh my gosh, I remember the name of my poem. That's a miracle. I can't remember anything.
CRS.
That's exactly what I suffer from. And we have a caller. Hello, hello. Yeah.
Hello, hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I am, well, here, so that's a good thing.
That's
up and down.
An amazing thing, yes.
Yeah, you know, things ebb and flow, but I am okay. So
good,
all good things.
Very good here. Hi, Ray.
What are you up? Hey, Debs. How you doing tonight?
Hanging in there. How you doing? How you doing?
We're talking about, you know, the unexpectedness of the internet and the things we come across, both good and bad. So far we kind of mostly touched on the good, but you know there's the sad side too, which I know you've experienced before. Some people just have no respect sometimes, and you know it's unfortunate, but you know it's the reality of it. You know, where there's good, there's going to be bad. So,
very true.
But you know sometimes we're fortunate enough to have it bloom and blossom in with friends, and you know,
yeah,
take
very
it from there.
And it's like you start to really feel like you know people by spending so much time with them, even though it's online, and you wind up making some of the best friends you never met. Or, like you said, in the other avenue, you know, sometimes something rubs you the wrong way, but you bite your tongue. But it's easier not to bite your tongue if your fingers are just flying, and then it's out there for the world. So that instant reaction isn't always the best possible way to go. So, yeah, I agree. It's good and the bad and the ugly and everything in between.
It
depends on if you get lucky enough to come across someone that's being honest. Because that everything kind of hinges on that. If you're honest about, you know, what you feel, what you want, what you're looking for and everything else, then you're more than likely not going to get disrespected. You know, someone's going to be like, you know, oh, well, you know, I'm going down the wrong path, or I had the wrong idea, or, you know, they're just going to treat you differently, I think. And, you know, or at least have an idea of what box to put you in, you know. So some people, you know, have a hard time trying to figure that out. But anyway, so it's the internet.
I mean, I know we joke a lot and had her all say, oh, it must be true, I read on the internet. But
yeah.
The days of the journalists or publishers or authors or whatever you want to call the people, being able to verify what they say seems to be a bygone days. It's like anymore you can't even trust that the hardcore news people who are supposed to have integrity will tell you how it is as opposed to their interpretation of how it is. So it's sad, but
I think it all comes down to the individual interpretations of what integrity actually means.
Very true.
It's universality.
It also
like
brings to mind. It also brings to mind WikiLeaks and Edward Snowden and you know, what's true and what's not true. You know, citing your sources and people, you know, hiding the truth. It's really, you know, a crazy thing.
Yeah. Very true.
And let's not forget that while people can be absolutely delightful and we tend to be not made to be alone, we people just do better mentally and everything else when they're not alone all the time. But, you know, sometimes people just suck.
Yes.
True. Yes.
Go ahead. I was going to say, and there's this unfortunate thing that happens on the internet that was touched upon for a second, where you have all these different screen names or personas, and you're like different here and different there and different here, but nobody knows who the heck you are, which means it goes back to what you said. People can be rude and obnoxious, and they just don't care, or they are really nice to get the information that they need before they're rude and obnoxious, and you can't read their face, you can't read anything, you can't. There is no inflection in chats, which is why everybody kind of reads me like a bitch, because I tend to just be straightforward and curt, and everybody's just like, "Ooh, something's a purr-butt today." No, it's just words. I'm good. But it's a hard place to navigate sometimes. You either trust or you don't. I tend to not trust because I have been on the ass end of things way too many times to just be all like, "I love everybody," because I don't. you kind of want to believe that everything that they're telling you, at least in private messages, is true, and it's hard to discern, you know, what is, you know, it's hard to discern what the reality of a situation is when it's a flat screen. You don't have all those, you know, the body language and you can't tell if they're holding back tears. You can't even tell if they're blubbering like an idiot. That would be me. I blubber a lot. It's everything is a mystery. And so it's not the easiest thing to traverse these budding online friendships. So when they actually get to the point of being those personal relationships, those friends that you call, the ones that you lean on, it is a stunning thing to me, because you don't have all of that in your face, three-dimensional interaction. So if you can build a true, trusting, lasting bond that way, it tends to stick, which I find beautiful.
The sad part of that, though, is sometimes, you know, you got two people looking at it, and they both have a different idea of what it means. So, you know, one of them is like, you know, "Oh, my God, you're my friend. I'll kill for you. Where do we bury the body?" And the other one's like, "I don't know you."
Right. Yeah. Yeah. The extremes can be pretty whiplash worthy.
A little bit. I had somebody actually say that to me that I had no interaction with. I found myself in a conversation with this person for literally 5 minutes and offered that exact, you know, I will drive the getaway car. I know the perfect place in the woods. I'm like, I don't know you. I'm not killing nobody. Please don't kill anybody and tell me, because I will turn you in.
Right?
Not on my behalf.
People are crazy.
Yes. Yes.
But having said that, some of the best people are the most seemingly off the wall, just fabulous characters. You know, there's a lot of nefariousness going on in the unseen world of ones and zeros. But, you know, good people, as quirky as they may be, are still good people.
And I think that's the beauty of it, that we get to pick and choose what we're drawn to. If we're drawn to the crazy, if we're drawn to the sincere, the cerebral, the stuck up, the grammar sensitive, oh my God, you know, that's
Come
not
on,
a form.
They're all me.
That's
I'm
the
not
beauty.
Crazy
you get to pick and choose. That's the beauty of it.
my goodness. Because I absolutely stopped in the middle of your poem to decide how I was going to read that one word. Oh, my goodness. I was like, oh, my goodness. It's like I forgot I was on the radio for a second. Sorry. My bad. But it was...
Corporeal.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my goodness. I have to say, Deb, I have missed being on. Apparently, I like to talk. The problem is I can't do it too long. So because, you know, things are just not working for me. But I absolutely am having a blast. So that is. Oh, and I put you up on the board a while ago, but we were having a good time talking. So, you know, but it's on there.
I was just going to say, I imagine Deb's going to want to talk for a minute. So. If you'd like to read your poem, Deb.
Yeah. I think I'd like to read the poem.
You are on the board, babe.
All right. Thank you. This is called After Logging In to Write Poetry, Like Therapy. For me, a gut punch triggered the search, seeking the place to write poetry. Just to silence the beast that screams inside me. Logged in to share poetry, then posting rights for all. Color exploded from the keyboard, painting the metaphor on the wall. Heather, my first all-poetry friend. Queen chicken dancer and the keeper of the pickle carcass box. Sorry, guys, you had to be there. She tucked me neath her wing till mine soared. Her chat group is like home, family. Bonds are tied. We laugh, then weep, spilling guts on the pages, then composing poetry as we sleep. Ride all the ups, mark cherry red, and we etch all the downs too, shades cornflower blue, and growing tighter as we do. Radio. Speaking poetry on the airwaves, adding voices, bonding too. And I sigh as I realize that you are some of the best friends I've never met, bonding us in this family that we choose. End poem.
Yeah, that's a beautiful example of our experiences. And you know, I like that you nod in the beginning to the therapy aspect of it, because that's definitely what drove me into it. And you know, some of us do treat it like therapy. And you know, I guess, you know, the people that you follow, the people that you do get to know and are fortunate enough to let you, you know, into their lives a little bit, you know, you get to understand where they're coming from. Or I think you do anyway, you know. Yeah, that's always a pitfall is like, you know, oh, I know exactly what she was thinking when she wrote this. I mean, then they're on the phone with their friends going, do you believe he thought that?
Yeah.
I can't believe so-and-so thought that was about them. Anyway, I think that's the biggest misconception, yeah. You know. We all tend to see ourselves in what we write, and you know, there's a meme running around with Morgan Freeman about a shoe and laces, and you know, it's very appropriate, you know, but it's one of those I guess your psyche whispers in the back of your brain and kind of gives away what's going on, but you don't necessarily recognize it, but this is, you know, it's a beautiful thought, and it's exactly what I was talking about, you know, these people that we come across, that we let into our lives to whatever degree, you know, it's a lovely chance, and you know, it's whatever we tend to make of it, you know. Sometimes, you know, we do get burned, and unfortunately that can't be helped, but you know, more often than not, I'd like to think that, you know, we could take away a positive experience from it and you know, avoid the pitfalls and you know, the support of our friends and you know, be cognizant of those red flags and walk away when you know, our gut tells us to and whatnot, and be safe. It's a tightrope, but, you know, more often than not, I think, you know, if we listen to what we think and you know, we're somewhat smart about it, we can avoid being burned too badly, I guess. But, I mean, it was just a beautiful poem. I loved it.
What'd you think? Pretty good. Amazing comment.
I think that you can't be smart about it because by design, all emotions are irrational. So there is no logic. There is experiences and you know, guesstimates. But about the poem, what a wonderful synopsis of from the beginning until now. And this is a beautiful tribute to all those moments, and I am dying to know about that pickle carcass box because that cracked me up. And but I love that how you honor her, and that welcoming kind of warm embrace to bring you into a place where you are then free to share, because especially. When you're new to a place, I don't care if you've been writing for however long, 100 years, when you're new to a place that you haven't discerned whether or not it's like all like niche, it's difficult to want to just go full hog and, you know, just purge everything because, you know, not for nothing, people tend to be judgy. And so when you are welcomed in all of that so warmly, it then becomes a free space. So that's a beautiful way to enter a place that can foster that kind of freedom to just feel everything. And that's not an easy thing to do, you know? And so I love that. I love how this kind of growth, it shows your growth from, you know, your first fledging steps on here to all these trusted people to the radio and the exponentially sized family. I think that is a beautiful, beautiful thing. And this is all the good things about this place, all of them.
Oh, awesome comment. Yeah.
Awesome poem.
Her chat group is still where I can run when there's no radio, there's no politically correctness. It's just a little handful of us, and I joined All Poetry on February the 9th, 2015, and that was the day she said hi, and we've been friends ever since, and it's like you just
sometimes you get lucky,
and it just really fits. You know, she's amazing. She's had a couple different names, so I when I want to figure out who she is, I have to go to the group real quick and see what she's going by. But she's Heather, so whatever profile name, you know, she'll know it's her. But like, yeah, and then once the radio happened and you actually started spending, it feels more real when you're hearing a voice, which is what I love about doing these. We get to give a voice to the poetry and to each other. I love meeting people's voices. But it's like, who would have thought when I first started doing the radio shows a little more than 6 years ago that I would wind up with such amazing friends that they're on the phone with me all the time. So it's just like, you just never know.
I'm not surprised Heather's a caller.
Do you know Heather?
No, but Heather is a caller.
Oh, it's a flower too, yeah. it's just... At first, I was leery because, like, how do you make friends with somebody that you never really see? They could be – I used to joke around and say, you know, for all you know, the person behind that profile picture could be an alien. But, like, that's me. That picture was just taken a couple weeks or, I guess, a month or so ago. My name's been Deborah Lee since I started here, and that's really my name. So it – sometimes I'm like, you know, well, every time I get to figure out who somebody is, they change their name again. That I don't understand, but to each his own. I mean, come on. But I don't know.
Yeah,
I've had,
the,
like you said, good and bad. And
the scary part of that is all the information could be true, but it could not belong to the person that's claiming it, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. So it's just like...
I could copy the Deborah Lee profile and reproduce it on another site and, you know, use your picture and everything. And you know, all the information would be, you know, verifiable. Oh, Deborah Lee is this person from this place and everything else. But, you know,
very
I'm
true.
The one controlling it, so it's I'm not you. And, you know, identity theft.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
very true.
I'm not paranoid, really.
Well... not at all. But no, luckily, I guess as long as the good continues to outweigh the crap,
yeah.
Keep on truck.
Yeah. So join a team of voices and find the good in people.
There you go.
There you go.
So, Miss Deborah Lee.
Yeah.
I read Rack's poem earlier because he had the nerve to not record something, but whatever. Would you mind reading Angels for me? I mean, we can still talk, like just asking for whatever it's
I would
read.
Love to.
Okay.
I would love to. Okay.
Yeah, awesome.
This is, I see it. It's called Find Comfort in Friendship by Heavenly Angel. Here we go. The air is comforted where my words are yours. You bring light to my life, shining your light into my heart that clouds cannot cover. A dear, special friend, I support you when the world seemingly turns its back. I'm there to hold your hand, to bring a smile to your day. Friendship wrapped up in a sunbeam. Beyond certainty, you can be reassured. I am here for you. End quote.
Beautiful piece. See, and that's kind of what I was thinking. You know, people can read that as long as they say, oh, but she wrote that for me. I just, you know.
No, she didn't, Rack. She wrote it for me.
She wrote it for her
quote,
friend.
By the way, it says, no, I didn't write that post about you, but if the shoe fits, feel free to lace that bitch up and wear it.
I just didn't want to quote that because of the, but yeah, I remembered.
I love that quote. It is awesome.
Yeah.
So go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt. It just came to my head, and I'm just obnoxious.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine. You know, I'm going off on the tangent of you know, people assuming they know what you meant when you wrote what you wrote, and assigning emotions to it that aren't necessarily, you know, I mean, the emotion behind this is obvious, and it's very beautiful. But, you know, people want to embrace it, and it makes them feel like, you know, it gives them that feeling that they know you better than they do. And or, you know, the other side of that, too, a little bit is, you know, it makes them want to know you. So, you know, a lot of that is sometimes unwelcome, and that's unfortunate. But, you know, it's just one of those things. When you reveal yourself, you have to be aware that, you know, people are going to recognize the beauty in it when it's there sometimes. And, you know, it may draw some unwanted attention. And I guess you got to be prepared to deal with that sometimes. And I'm sure a lot of our members deal with that on a daily basis. Anyway, Angel, it's a beautiful poem, and like I say, it does make people want to know you and be your friend. So I know that's not necessarily the intention, but the words are gorgeous, and you know, the sentiment is heartwarming, and I really enjoyed it very much. What'd you think, Deb?
Well, for starters, I'm honored to be her reader. But I thought that it was quite a beautiful declaration of friendship. with the endearments, like I support you, and friendships wrapped up in a sunbeam. It was just a really uplifting and tender write, and totally one of her signatures is to put the tenderness in her pen. So great share.
Awesome comment. And Pretty Bird.
You know, I'm sure that she has many more friends than I do, because I tend to write in darkness, disdain, despair, and all things evil. There's something about the way she writes, and not just in this, but in all of her romantical pieces, and all of her hopeful pieces, even her sad ones. There is a warmth to it, a nice round warmth to the way that she writes that's truly, truly lovely. And in this brevity, it is all good things. It speaks to me of a deeper affection, not necessarily anything romantic, just something that, you know, when you can count on somebody, when it doesn't matter how bad your day is, that they can just, you know, look at you, say a word, type something out on a thing, and it just lifts your spirits and keeps you out of, you know, the doldrums. I think that is magic, and she captured that very, very well. And we have a caller.
Crystal.
I'm hoping. Hello, hello.
It is Crystal. You're right.
A little sis is here.
How you doing, Crystal?
I'm doing good.
We're going on and on about unexpected friendships and the good, the bad, and the ugly on the internet. Did you get to hear Angel's poem?
I did not. I just called in.
Oh, okay. Well, don't say it like that. You just called in. We're happy you could share time with us.
I always hate when that happens, though. Like, you call, and then, like, you just miss a poem. And it's like, and then you're like, oh, did you get to read? And I'm like, no. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, you know, timing. I'm sure you'll get to read it later and you'll leave her a lovely comment.
Yeah,
anyway,
normally I do.
Yeah, you're good about that. Unlike some people that are slacking. But anyway.
I feel seen.
You're not the only person.
I don't know. I feel guilty. You know, I have ideas about propriety when it comes to stuff like that. You know, if you write for the show, I want to comment, if, you know, things like that. And lately I haven't been able to, so I feel very guilty that I can't leave the written comments. I know some people are happy with the verbal comment, but, you know, I'd like to leave a written thing as well, because if you're going to write for the show and, you know, share your thoughts, you know, I think you deserve that in return where possible. And unfortunately for me, lately it hasn't been possible. I've lost my eyesight. So literally that's why the tag says flying blind, but I'm not going to go into that. That's kind of where I'm at, and I'll apologize for not leaving those comments, but I do encourage everyone else, if you do hear something that you like, to leave a written comment if you get a chance, and let the author know what it was that you enjoyed about the piece. I'm guessing you probably want to read yours.
Sure, if it's on the board.
It's on the board.
It is? Okay. Yeah, I was trying to think of unexpected friendships. I mean, I've had a few in real life, but I definitely am pretty sure most of us will say that this is like the unexpected friendship coming on here, even though we have one thing in common, poetry. But a lot of the times when I tell people I do podcasts and I tell people and do poetry and stuff, And I tell them the people that I talk to that are people from all around the world, all different ages, and they're like, and you're friends with them? I'm like, yeah. So I definitely say that is an unexpected friendship to me, is the one that I've made, all the people I've met on here for the past 7.5 years or however long I've been on here, but in the last 2.5 or 3 years I've been doing these podcasts. But yeah, so this is called Riding with Friends. Step in the outside world, no one truly knows who I am. I am a stranger, an outsider, a pearl-shelled clam. When I write, all those pearls come out of me. My mind explodes with inspiration I want everyone to see. Though people do see my work in the outside world, they just see words from an awkward, nerdy girl. When I come on here, there is no such thing. When I write, there is so encouragement to bring. I know I have found a community. No, not a community. I found friends, people who care about my heart, and I never want it to end. End poem.
That's beautiful. You know, I like the idea of kind of not really embracing the anonymity, but owning what it is that you write, you know. And you know, it is funny. You know, I've had that thought, you know, in the outside world sometimes. You know, I think that the game was The Sims, where they had the, you know, the little colored light over your head and stuff, you know, that kind of indicated your mood or whatever. I always felt like that, like, you know, a big neon sign that said something, you know, in relation to what I was feeling or thinking. You know, it feels like that sometimes, that you know, you want to scream, you know, and you want people to realize or know or acknowledge it sometimes. When you're able to do that on the internet and express yourself and not be judged for it, you know, those are the people that you really do can call friend, you know, and it's a beautiful thing. And you know, it's not always easy to find. And like you say too, you know, people are gonna question it and doubt it, and that's, you know, part of the thought with this topic tonight as well, was, you know, because, you know, people kind of deny that, you know, well, how can you feel something for someone you never met? Well, you know, it happens, and you kind of have to experience it to understand it. And I, you know, it can be a really wonderful thing. You know, being able to call someone a friend, you know, even, you know, based on the poetry that we have in common and things like that, you know, as a basis and a jumping off point is a wonderful thing. I thought this was beautiful, Crystal. Thank you for sharing it tonight.
Thank you, Rack. And I liked your comment about The Sims, because I like to play that game a lot, so I could relate to that.
I love The Sims.
What about her poem?
Oh, yes. I love that, too. yeah, no, I like the sentiment behind it. And there was something happened to me as you read the words. They just see words from an awkward, nerdy girl. And to be truthful here, I almost started to cry, because, like, there was a sadness in the thought of somebody picking on you. I don't know. But I've never really thought of you as awkward or nerdy.
Uh-huh.
I thought you kind and brilliant and my little sister and my friend and you know, it's just like the first time I stumbled across you was in your chat group and you were an amazing friend to all the people that were coming through your room and I didn't see anything awkward. I saw awesome. Just saying. At least they both start with AW.
It's funny that you call her out on that, Deb, I think, because you know, part of the beauty of a friendship too is you know that expression about people seeing yourself through other people's eyes. Very often, you know, the things that we put on paper, myself specifically, you know, you feel a certain way, but you know, people that look at you aren't necessarily going to see you in that way. But more often than not, you know, feelings you know, you can't deny that's, you know, well, even if people tell you, well, I don't see you like that, you still feel that way, you know, and it's hard to wrap your mind around, you know, someone else looking at you and not seeing that sometimes. Not to hog the mic. Pretty Bird, what'd you think of Crystal's poem?
You know, there's a line in here that I absolutely adore, because you don't give a full precursor to it, and that is the part that says, "There is so," which I love, because that comes after somebody says, "No, there's not." So it's like you're defending the truth of the friendships that you've made, and how encouraging they are, and I just absolutely just gravitated towards that, because it's such a specific three words that is kind of a rebuttal to you know, people having the nerve to tell you that it's not a real place, it's not real stuff, it's not who you are, it's not whatever it is that they can't see you for. And so I really, really just, I'm like fixated on that. But it's a beautiful thing to find like-minded people, to find and within those like-minded people, to find those that are more universally like-minded, that are less judgmental, that are all accepting. And because, you know, people in the real world, I mean, it takes a long time to get into that place with most people. But when you find the right community on here, it's an easy, like, open flower where it's a beautiful and soft place to be. And I love that you put us in that place, and that you defend the truth of it without having to defend anything. It just kind of is. And so I really enjoyed that.
Thank you, Pretty Bird.
You're very, very welcome.
And the unfortunateness of it that you speak of, I think you actually wrote about in one of your poems. So, if you want to launch into that.
Oh, who about me? So, do you want corpses or you want 4 a.m.?
4 a.m.
All right. Trigger warning. There's a line in here that, you know, if it is not okay, if there's no F-bombs or anything, but just if you've been warned. Okay. It's a in passing thing. It's not a dwelling on a thing. So I don't think it'll be a problem. I've read it before. You haven't had a problem with it. We're good. Okay. This is Life at 4 a.m. And it goes like this. Wait, I forgot my glasses again. Hold on a second. Where did I put them? I'm like an old lady. Seriously, I clean my glasses. Here they are. Okay. Because I can't keep them on all the time because it makes my eyes hurt. But I need them when I read. So here we go. This is Life at 4 a.m. I sit and stare at a photograph or two or three or every picture that he saw fit to gift to me. And my gaze lingers in those hazel eyes, losing myself in half-awake dreams at 4 a.m. What if, and then, so let's say we are fated, pulled and connected like the strongest of magnets, mind to mind and heart to heart, knowing that there is a freedom in that kind of unity, believing without choice that we own the best pieces of each other. Still, what if isn't what is? What is isn't what could be? What could be is just another what if. So I stare into those hazel eyes at 4:22 a.m. and I wonder if for him I could overlook the cigarettes and stale coffee, remnants of a history that's been unkind. Leave it to me to love a man who smells like the first one to rape me. But here at 4:30 a.m., I can believe he smells like the earth after a winter rain, and I can believe that to him I smell like heaven, lost in that sweetness, captured on a phone 1,000 miles away. I can feel his skin on mine, his breath in my ear, saying nothing and everything all at once. Here in the dark at 4:38 a.m., I can know beyond doubt that he is where my heart is. With no rhyme or reason, I know that should I ask, he would give me all of him. And I know this as I sit here staring at a picture or two or three or every picture that he saw fit to gift to me, as I stare into those hazel eyes, losing myself in half-awake dreams at 4:43 a.m. in Palm.
Wow. You know, I love the combination of the timeline of it and the unfolding of the story. But you know, you also kind of underscore the idea of not really reinventing yourself, but you know, because it's online, you know, relying on and filling in the spaces yourself, and being able to, you know, kind of obscure the things you see or you know, mold them a little more to what you want. There's a question of you know, honesty in it too. At the same time, that makes it hard to swallow sometimes. It's difficult. It's I don't know. There's a lot of emotion behind this. But you know, the first thought that comes to mind, you know, when you find someone online that you become attracted to, attached to, is the ease in which we tend to be able to abandon ourselves and envelop ourselves in the situation and just the better part of it, the better ideas of it, the things that we want, and then, you know, to have it yanked away from us is, you know, the harsh reality after a while. It's tough, but you know, I really enjoy this piece. You know, I really, you know, just everything you write, but fanboy anyway.
Thank you.
Crystal, what'd you think?
Yeah, I've had two different types of experiences, I would say, when it comes to things at 4 a.m. You either have times where you are kind of like in this poem, staring at a picture late at night, thinking it's what you need and it's not. Or I've had it where it's been at 4 a.m. and you're having this, like, deep conversation or these thoughts or something like that. And sometimes they can be so profound and so right. Yet sometimes when your brain is that tired, you don't know which one is which. But, yeah, I really do love this, though. This, I think a lot of us have been through a time where we have been up that late at night staring at some picture or reading some letter or something like that, and we think like, oh, this is right, but we're not entirely sure. But I like how you also go through each part of the time, like this time is just going by and you're still staring at the same picture. I love when people put like time lapses in a poem because I feel like it gives it realism as time is going by. But I think a lot of us can relate to this. And, oh, and the one part I wanted to say that I loved the most is still what if isn't what is. What is isn't what could be. What could be is just another what if. I loved how you said that because it's the mindset that we're kind of going through of we don't know what if it means, and we don't know if it's a could be or just another what if. We don't know. And I feel like that was like very profound, just like in the middle of that. But yeah, I think this is a great piece, Pretty Bird. It really is.
Thank you so much.
You know, I think it kind of speaks to what you were talking about, Crystal, about people, you know, doubting the sincerity, the actuality of the relationships of people on the internet. It's the intangibility that you kind of calls into question that you can't, you know, put your arms around, but you know, you still feel the love that resonates in the piece. What do you think, Deb?
Well, for starters, the impact of this one it is like, whoa. It's like you bled this one. It oozed. what I just got done writing is, oh my goodness, I'm thinking that you bled this one. Like you woke up and your brain was racked with the need to ooze yourself onto paper to bare your soul, to free some demons. And it was like this countdown of what you went through, 45 minutes of what is going on, the back and forth with the countdown of the time of staring at that photo of 1 minute thinking it's tragically terrible, and then the next minute you can believe that they smell like the earth and the rain and winter. I mean, it's just like there was chaos in the thoughts, in the feelings, and they show, but most of all, the deep emotional, again, I'll say ooze, that came out here is so damn powerful. It's an impressive rate.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You know, the one thing we haven't talked about tonight with unexpected friendships that have mostly been all about, you know, cyberspace, even though unexpected this happens everywhere. But when you connect with somebody and eventually you trust somebody enough that you actually want to meet them, there's a lot of fear, even if it's not romantic, because you can get on great with them on the phone. And if you do video chats, which I hate, you know, that's another like tightening of the bond, but chemistry is chemistry is chemistry is chemistry, and you can bond in cyberspace and on the phone, but if you're talking anything romantical, if the chemistry ain't there, the chemistry ain't there. And then what happens? Do you want to risk it? Is it just a waste of time? Is it good enough to just be friends? I mean, that's a lot to contemplate.
Sure is. And like you was touched on earlier, that you spend half the time second-guessing yourself once you've been burned, so it's sometimes harder to tear down those walls. But, man, you really, really just crumbled all the walls and just threw them out on the page there. and I'm sorry, Rec, I have to beat feet, but it was fun hanging out. I only had about an hour, but
how did that happen?
Great conversation. And I am thrilled to have, I am absolutely over the moon thrilled to be building unexpected bonds with you guys. And we will talk soon. Love and respect.
Say hi to Hattie before you go. He just hopped on, like on the phone.
Hi, Hattie.
Hi.
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 Hattie.
Hi,
Heidi.
Feeling good enough
Heidi,
to
call,
but I really have to go.
I woke up
tomorrow.
From my nap.
Well, I'm glad you woke up.
Welcome.
Good night, Deb.
Love
Thanks for
time.
Hanging out.
My pleasure.
Oh, Deb.
Hi, Heather.
Oh, you still got
okay,
crystal
talk,
on hand.
I'll talk to you later. Hey, Rock.
You still got Crystal and Pretty Bird and myself, so how you doing?
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Chateau?
Hey, Crystal, Bird, Pretty Bird.
Hello.
I'm very, very busy healing, starting physical therapy. So my days are full of naps. I love my
naps.
Well,
you know, that's when the healing happens.
That's right.
Shoemaker says, time wounds all heals. anyway, bad pun. How you doing tonight? Did you bring us a poem about friendship? Or did you just come to hang out?
Sure did. No, I did.
Awesome.
We'll get to the group.
You can just put it right up on the board if you'd like. We've been having all kinds of interesting insights as to what happens with the unexpected friendships online, friendships of all kinds, and trustworthiness and how it, you know, how hard or easy it is to trust people online versus in real life, and all kinds of interesting conversations tonight.
Yeah, this was written for Claire. I've met Claire. We were friends for 13 years on the internet, and we tried three different times to meet. She lives in London. Well, Essex, actually, Essex. And she came over twice, but I was unable to, on my end, be able to contact with her. But we made a pact, and long story short, she's a musician, a professional musician in England, and she had taken these lessons from this guy on the internet who lives in Rochester, New York. So we flew into New York, me from California, her from London, and met. Stayed there one night, and then we flew into Rochester and stayed at this musician's castle for 2 weeks.
Oh, nice.
And had a great time. We ended up spending three or four more days in Manhattan. It was quite the event. Let me read it. We have traveling with you, watching the sun crawl across the floor, waiting for the keys that will open the door. With you beside me, together at dawn, many memories of cities we've gone, a boat to ship or a fast-moving plane, or maybe a berth on a slow-moving train, another resort with beautiful room, creating a memory of a second honeymoon. Here are the sounds of the plodding keys, of approaching keys that will open the door to set us free. Packed with slacks and flowers, shirts, pajamas with slippers and mini skirts. The times together through customs we shared, opened and x-rayed with nothing declared. We wait on the spinning cold metal ride while strangers watch with curious eyes. Exhausting trips to unknown places, exotic resorts and suntanned faces. Time flies by in a week times two, spending my life traveling with you. I set your locks. I see your locks and your untied laces, colored tags that speak of the places. There is nothing better than tickets for two, and I wish you to know that I love you.
That's awesome. That's a beautiful chronicle of, the experience that you had, you know. I'm glad you guys finally got to meet after so long, too. That would have been...
Yeah.
Magic. I think about that a lot sometimes, you know, that there's so many people that I've gotten to know that it's like, you know, I'll never get to hang out with. But, you know, if the opportunity ever presented itself, I'd be like, you know, oh, we have to, you know, it's just one of those things that you kind of make a bucket list of people, I think, or at least I have, you know. It's just like people I wouldn't mind having a beer with, hanging out and just, you know, chilling. And that way I could say, you know, hey, I met so-and-so, you know. Or at least, you know, hold it close to your heart because, you know, not necessarily kiss and tell, but, you know, some people are private about that and you don't necessarily want to put that out in public that you actually met them. And some people don't care, you know, it's just one of those things. But it's a great story. You know, London is, you know, the other end of the world, which, you know, it's funny on the internet to me, you know, it's like, you know, across the street or across the world, it kind of doesn't make a difference. It's like, you know, they're not there. And, you know, you may not even know that they're right there across the street until you get to know them, you know, and then it turns out that they're, you know, they're not across the street. You know, it's just one of those things that the unfortunateness of the distance sometimes. But, you know, it's amazing that you're able to bridge that and then, you know, actually bring it into reality. And the traveling with the keys approaching and the undertone of the connection between the two of you, I think that was also a very beautiful cut. You know, and that you end it with "I love you." You know, I thought that was very tender and romantic. The whole piece was nice. I really enjoyed it, Hatter.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for bringing that tonight. That was a beautiful example of the friendship. Crystal, what'd you think?
Yeah, I always have this certain saying. I have stuck by it for years because it's something that is like very important to me. But I always say, like, it's not the places you go, but it's the people you're with. Because that, to me, that's always kind of been the truth. Because you could go to the dump and be with the love of your life or your best friend. And then you could sit there and go to Paris and be with somebody you absolutely can't stand, and you won't enjoy the trip at all. Because often the people that you're with make wherever you go worth it. And I think that's the whole thing that comes to mind here, Hatter, is that the person that you were with is the person that you wanted to travel with. Even if the trip was great for, like, seeing, going on rides or seeing places and things like that and kind of being touristy or so, but it was the person that you were with is what made it so important and made it matter. So I really like that, and plus your rhyme is spot on. I do believe I have read this one before because I do remember it a little bit, but I liked hearing it again. But beautiful poem, Hatter.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
It makes me think of this. There's a song, Claire de la Lune. But anyway, Pretty Bird, what'd you think?
I think that each couplet, each verse is like a little snapshot, a little snippet of those moments that you shared, and each one of them is full of affection. And it's this from the from the very beginning, you know, as you're watching the shadows change when as the sun moves across the floor, waiting, you know, just waiting, that anticipation, and for the day to start, and it's almost like you can't believe you're there, and it's all the best parts of the trip, that getting to know each other, that beautiful sharing of time, which is to me like one of the most important parts of any friendship or relationship, is that eagerness to share that time, to not want to waste those moments. So it's almost like you don't want to go downstairs and get coffee. You know, you want to wait until you can do it together because you don't want the separation. And there is such love in that. And when you go through all this, the love is evident. But at the very end, when it says, you know, I wish you to know that I love you, when you kind of wrap it all up in that pretty bow, it kind of makes you melt a little bit. It's a very heartwarming piece. And that's, I mean, 13 years.
Thank
wow,
you.
That's a long time. Like, that's a long time to know anybody in the real world, much less online. Right. I'm like, wow. So that's beautiful.
Thank you.
You're
thank
welcome.
You.
Some people I can't stand for 10 minutes.
This is true.
Yeah, a friendship spanning 13 years is a testimony. It really is. Beautiful piece, Hatter.
Thank you.
I think we've only got the one left, Pretty Bird.
Yeah, the corpses. But it's almost 12:30. So, anybody got anything coming up this week?
I'm sure Hatter's got something going on, right?
I have a show tomorrow night.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, do tell. Details,
okay.
Girl.
Okay. I didn't mean to overshadow Hatter. I'm sorry. But no, I was just going to say my show is tomorrow at 9 p.m. Eastern, and it's all about identity, just whatever comes to your mind when you think of identity. I'm mainly focusing on the identity of yourself, but if you wanted to think of it in a different way, I'm perfectly fine with that. Like if you want to go as secret agent or something, I'm fine with that. But, yeah, the whole show is going to be about identity. We're going to read poetry on it and talk about it and things like that. So, yeah, it's tomorrow night.
And identify with it.
And on Thursday, it is a Team of Voices 3rd anniversary. I'm hoping Sweet's going to be back by then. But it's not on the topic board yet that I have seen. But that should be fun and interesting. And then on Friday, Hatter... you are doing the Man Cave with Steven. So you want to tell us about that?
I believe it's Paul. We're going to visit Paul McCartney's life, and I think it was the other was Scary. I can't remember. Oh, shoot. Oh, Aliens. Every Friday and Saturday. Saturday, it's A.P. Taylor and myself. We're going to have his first of his new game. It's like pick MacBo, but a couple little changes.
Pick MacBo.
We'll be doing that. Yeah, we'll be doing that Saturday.
And that's at 11 o'clock at night, or is that in the afternoon?
That'll be 11 o'clock Eastern.
Okay. So that's gonna take place of the Wizard of Oz or the Think Tank or the UW and AP. It's going to be game time on Saturday, so that's going to be cool. Fun stuff.
Yeah. The revamped.
Yeah, I think we have a prompt of a spray can.
Spray can?
Like the Black Flag, the old spray cans with the insecticides in.
Oh, there you go.
I might want to hairspray, but okay.
Aquanet. Oh, I used to live on Aquanet back in like 1987. And I'm not old. It's fine. And Crystal has dropped. And so I'm going to go ahead and put up corpses. The truth always smells like corpses in a crowd. How's that for unexpected? And it goes like this. People watching, crowded stations of passers-by where colorful commentary flows through my internal dialogue. I smile against the truth that hangs in the air. Creating interesting characters out of boring people, it's my rambling mind that runs free, but my mouth stays shut, lest I get stained by the disdain emanating from every crowd I've ever witnessed. Mundane commutes in silence, where 2 hours a day, time is shared by the same people, and no one has a name. Dull eyes stain all they survey in neutral zero, where joy looks like a ride home with no delays and pain is being late for work. Gray views out a window, and I feel the cement in their eyes as they expend all their energy actively not making eye contact. And I smile against the truth that hangs in the air. I sit and watch and learn who I never want to be, where people judge others by the very things they hate about themselves. Quiet your tongue's hypocrisy. I won't bleed my ears listening to rants on drag society so you feel better about your messed up Reddit situation. So I smile against the truth that hangs in the air. Escapism and societal norms. Waste all your money on movies and complain that you're broke. Spend all your time in books and cry when you have no friends. Everyone hides from themselves somehow. But I watch crowded stations of passers-by where colorful commentary flows through my internal dialogue. And I smile against the truth that hangs in the air. End poem.
I still love this piece. I see so much truth in it, and you know, there's some scary bits to it as well. You know, the escapism, the way, you know, some people tend to push some things to the side and you know, see what they want to see, but you know, the lines about judging others. It's a little close to home, you know. That always tends to hurt. But you know, the freedom that the internet affords some of us, you know, the combination of the anonymity and the ability to kind of reinvent yourself. You know, I'm a internet billionaire that collects books or something crazy like that. You know. you know, it could be true. And at the end of the day, you know, if you're never going to meet these people, sometimes, you know, you have to wonder, does it really even matter? You know, whatever it is that we take away from some of these relationships that we get into, you know, it's mind-boggling because, you know, as long as you kind of correctly compartmentalize it, I guess it's healthy. It's okay. It's easy to get carried away. And I think that line tends to blur the longer we do it. You know, some of us are, you know, I guess sicker than others and we don't draw those lines, or we fall in with the wrong thoughts. I don't know. The potential to spin out of control is there. And you bring all that to mind in this piece, because, you know, you're talking about reality, but, you know, at the same time, you're talking about the hollowness of the internet that reality kind of still represents. I love it. I love this piece for so many reasons. Hatter, what'd you think?
Yeah, the hypocrisy, you know, that's so true. Crowd mentality is just a mob. And I'm going to go back to, quiet your tongues, hypocrisy. I won't bleed my ears listening to rants of dregs of society so you feel better about your messed up or other situation. Yeah. Those people that are negative, you need to step away from. And you're right. Sometimes being the quietest in the room and an observer is the best thing to do. Yeah.
A little bit. My favorite part of this particular poem is that she's actively not speaking to any of these people that aren't speaking and making up her own crap in her head. So she's no different than any of these people. And so I kind of love that whole thing. And I think it's funny because I, if it's a long train ride and there's somebody sitting right next to me, and if they talk and you know, sometimes I don't want to be bothered, but I will always be polite, you know, and I won't be like, listen, leave me the heck alone, because, you know, I may have been born in Brooklyn, but I don't live there anymore. And so I'm actually, you know, nice. And I like interacting. I will not, however, go out of my way to interact with people. And for the love of God, do not talk to me on a freaking elevator. I have no time or patience for niceties and 30-second sound bites if I don't give a crap. You know, I'm like, I just don't. I'm just like, I get we're the only two people in here, you know, but you don't have to talk to me for the 15 seconds it takes me to get to the floor I'm getting off on. It's just, it's weird to me, you know, because you at some point have run into somebody who the second they hop on the elevator, they are in your face with all of their telling you about their day and asking you questions and where are you going and how the hell is that your business? I don't know you. But I'm odd. I'm like the most antisocial social person I've ever met. And it's funny that nowadays, it's not like before everybody had a smartphone. Now, you know, their cyber friendships, their online personas are what keeps them away from making that eye contact with real people. It's like the real world does not exist because all of their energy is put into their phone, and that kind of reinforces the hypocrisy itself, isn't it? I mean, like you're a social butterfly when you don't have to talk to people, but you've got 100 people around you that you won't look at.
Yeah, I've seen, you know, and I'm sure you have as well, you know, out in the real world, in the wild, you know, a group of people sitting at the table and not one of them is talking because they all have their face in their phone.
Yeah.
I actually was questioned once when I went to dinner with someone and I didn't bring my phone. They're like, you're not bringing your phone? I'm like, why do I need to bring my phone? Everyone I want to talk to is going to be with me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, you know, whatever.
I tend to leave them in the car, like in the console. If it's date night, What's funny, like we used to both leave our phones, and now we kind of trade off with the one, because one of us will invariably ask a question we don't know the answer to, and nobody wants to walk back out to the car to look it up for a second, because one of us has to be right. But we make it a point not to be at it. There are no electronics at my table, never have been, never will be. If it's mealtime, you leave your crap elsewhere and be in the moment. You know?
Yeah.
That's probably the only time my kids are like not stuck in cyberspace somewhere, because that's the age we live in and they're teenagers, but they'll have to suffer through an actual meal and conversation every once in a while.
There was a poem that went viral that I should have actually brought. I don't know if I would have gotten permission to read it. It's called "Look Up from Your Phone." When it came out, it went viral to the point that some guy actually wrote a response that got panned almost universally. He tried to say, look at your phone or something stupid and respond to it. And people were like, you're an idiot. But the look up from your phone poem, was something that everyone was like, getting behind, in the sense of, the world is out there and join them, kind of a thought. But, it's funny because, we're talking on the internet about friendships we've made on the internet, and we've come a long way from just having that phone as that contact. And, we've also spoken of, it kind of being the entry point, I think, to a more fulfilling, meaningful, full type of friendship. It's you get to know people a little bit, you share things, and then you probably will bring it on and make it a little more real and talk on the phone or have that video chat or actually get to meet the person in person 13 and a half years later and half a world away. It's an amazing thing. I think Hatter didn't comment, did he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He did.
Oh, okay. I was the first.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a song called "Look Up."
It was a poem. "Look Up from Your Phone."
Are you sure?
Absolutely. I had the link at one point, not recently, but yeah. It's some guy. It's very modest about it, but very possessive of it. Anyway. I maybe it was a song. I'm almost positive it was a poem, but maybe it was a song.
Here, I'll read you the first verse and you tell me. It says, "I have 422 friends, yet I'm lonely. I speak to all of them every day, and yet none of them really know me. The problem I have fits in..." Is that the one?
Yeah. Okay. I recognize it right from the beginning. Yeah, that was it. That was a song?
Yeah,
I've read it like a poem. I don't remember it being a song, but it did make an impression. That whole idea of how many friends you have, but the fact that you don't necessarily know them. The whole internet is the internet thing. It really resonates, I think. That there's a lot of validity and truth in it.
I would offer to read it, but it's really long.
Again, we don't have permission, so.
Well, if we're talking about it, we kind of do.
I wrote a piece with about that your friends called 369. How many friends I added up?
Oh, okay.
See that quote? No.
Did you want to read it?
Oh,
what quote?
It's still about a few minutes, I think. Right.
Correct. I'll let you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on, club. All right, I'm there. Give me a minute to get it. Hepatitis profile. Yeah, I remember that little video. It was a prompt for a contest. And okay, you got it. Copy. Running down the hall. I'm on my phone. I can't wait till I can get off my phone back on my laptop. I just hate this deadly crap. Phone. And they are.
Yeah, that tends to be a common thing, I guess, when it comes to the internet. You know, people tend to question the reality, the validity, and, you know, I'm a big person to jump behind the, you know, you can't tell me that the feelings aren't real, that the people aren't real, that the friendships aren't real. You know, like you said, you know, your niece, you know, she brought it into reality. You know, there's always that possibility. You know, there's always that, you know, and it's easy to be cynical because, you know, more often than not, I want to say, you know, our minds, when left to their own devices, tend to, you know, run all paranoid and crazy because of, you know, the world being the way the world is. And you know, if you start thinking about the possibilities, you could really make yourself insane. But, you know, sometimes we get lucky and life surprises us and it's not dim and cynical and unfortunate. Anyway, did you find your link, Hatter? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I posted it. Should be in the group.
Oh, go, whenever you're ready, go ahead and read.
Okay, it's called 369. I counted up all the lists, contacts that are all mine, but I'm sure it is my keyboard's life that added to 369. 369, I counted again, the number that sums my life. 113, I have never met. 2 became my wife. 23, I love dearly. 68, I could have phoned. 22 still makes me smile, but only one knows I'm alone. 17, I remember dating. 33, I wish I had. 7 had a piece of my heart, but only one knows when I am sad. 35, I have recently met. 41, I remember well. 4, I might still owe money to when I'm but when I'm happy, only one can tell. 55, I can't hear the voice. 47 asks about me. 9, I called when needing a friend. There's only one that sits with me. 27, I called teammates. 17, hugged me when I was blue. 6, I never told them I loved them. And the one that I never had to.
Oh, that's gorgeous. You know, I like when you talk about numbers like that, not you specifically, just in general in a poem, when people do that. What some people don't realize, there's an urge to kind of tie the numbers together. But, you know, when you mention that one person, that to me speaks of it could be the same person or it might not be. So when you say, you know, the one that knows when you're lonely might not necessarily be the same one that knows, you know, when you need that hug or, you know, when you're sad. So, but it could be the same person that you're talking about. And I think that's what makes something like this beautiful because it matches the possibilities of all those relationships that you're talking about, the different roles that people play in your life. And you know, some people do want to make accounting out of it and turn it into statistics and numbers and you know, I think that's a sad thing because, you know, they think of life in terms of you know, how many likes or how many I guess it is friendships. That's what you accumulate on Facebook, right? The friends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you know, they measure their life in terms of the number of Facebook friends they have. you know, what's really funny about something like that too, in my brain is, you know, some businesses measure their success in terms of their followers and their quote unquote Facebook friends. So, you know, I guess in some ways that is valid, but you know, and the reality is, you know, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter, you know, if you're writing, you know, your heart on the page, what matters is that you said what you wanted to say. And, you know, it doesn't really matter who reads it or who understands it and who doesn't. You know, what they think is what they think. You said your piece. It's a wonderfully intriguing piece. What'd you think, Pretty Bird?
All of these numbers. Usually I hate math, but... it's always that one. It always comes down to the one. And I love that. I love that you have all of these people that serve all of these purposes, fill all of these holes that you can count on in different ways for different reasons. But there's only one that you don't have to explain anything to that doesn't have to guess. They just know one. And, you know, you can have 1,000 friends online, 1,000 followers, but if one of them is a real friend, then you are a rich man. And that is a beautiful thing.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And speaking of thank you, I guess now would be an appropriate time to say thank you to Deb for making this possible. And the rest of the world. Thank you for hanging out, Hatter, and calling. Thank you, Crystal, and Deb for calling. Angel for dropping a piece. And Pretty Bird, as always, thank you for making me look good. That's a very difficult job. So some might say you didn't succeed. Some might not. I don't know. I'd like to meet them. Thank you all for hanging out and for sharing time. You know, I appreciate you giving me a chance to rant and pontificate and philosophize about friendships and internet and all the other fun stuff that we went through tonight. It was a blast sharing time with you guys, and I guess we'll do it again in the next month.
Absolutely. It was a fun talk.
And until then, enjoy your nights, and thank you for hanging out, and share some love on the poems that you've heard and read, if you get a chance.
That was a great show, Rex. Good night, guys.
Good night.
Thank you for your Love Talk Radio. Goodbye.